Capital One presents a 30-second audio tour of Ireland. Sheep, fairies, golf. Charming Castle, Charming Castle, Charming Castle, Charming Castle, Charming Castle.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, you can actually go there when you use the Capital One Venture Card. You earn unlimited double miles on every dollar you spend on every purchase, which means you'll have plenty of miles to actually travel to Ireland. The Capital One Venture Card. What's in your wallet?
Capital One Bank USA N.A.
This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good morning, Stephen. All right, so late last week, Senate Republicans passed the biggest overhaul to the U.S. tax code. Now, we also saw the strongest proof yet that President Trump's inner circle that apparently has controversial ties with the Russians. Do you think those stories will have more legs this week, or have they been fully priced in?
Well, I think obviously we saw the dollar's reaction on Friday, and it was, you know, quite fierce when risk aversion reared its ugly head. However, I think looking at the details of the actual press release, it doesn't appear that there's a significant smoking gun. However, we always have to use the old adage, where there's smoke, there's fire. So I think dealers are going to be on significant guard to any escalation of these Russiagate headlines. On the other fact, we had some great news over the weekend that the Senate actually passed tax reform. So this moves it to the next step, where now we're going to have both the Senate and Republicans hash out the differences within each stance. And, so far the market has received it well. There was a dollar bounce this morning. However, I think there's a reluctance by traders to chase it much higher right now. One, they're not really sure how much dollar benefit is going to happen given, the economic uncertainty versus the uncertainty over the budgetary constraints. So this is all needs to be ironed out over the next few weeks. We'll probably have a little bit better detail once the entire legislation gets ratified.
Now, Stephen, you talk about those proposed reforms to the U.S. tax code. So perhaps that's a further catalyst for U.S. economic growth. You know, you compare that versus, say, political risk. What's the net result on the dollar, at least for the near term?
Yeah, I think, obviously we could see the knee-jerk reaction to any political risk, but unless it's like a serious, like an impeachment-type risk, I tend to believe that these political risks tend to get unwound really quickly. So I think while you have to be cautious and be on guard of these political knee-jerk inspired moves on the dollar, I think the longer-term narrative is really predicated on U.S. growth. And I think on this scenario, this is how the Feds are going to move. And I think the market's really, really more susceptible, especially the dollar is far more susceptible to a faster pace of interest rate normalization in the U.S. So the market's really watching how the bond curve reacts to all this news.
All right, yeah, certainly looking forward to that Fed decision next week. Now, Stephen, let's move over to Europe. Today, we've got a meeting between Euro area finance ministers, followed by a gathering among the European Commission College of Commissioners that's taking place on Wednesday. Brexit and the future of the EU are high on the agenda. How much will the euro be exposed to headline risk this week?
Well, the euro has actually performed very well of late. That's pretty much driven by the stronger economic data that's coming out. I think one of the things that the market's playing off of is that last ECB meeting, Draghi sounded overtly dovish, and I think because of the stronger economic data that's come out over the last month, I think the market's sort of pricing in the fact that maybe the ECB are going to change their narrative. Now, obviously, the Brexit negotiations can always deal a massive curveball, but it appears that by this divorce bill being settled, with some ridiculous amount of like 60 billion euro being transferred from the UK over to Europe, I think this has sort of appeased the masses in Europe. However, there's still some really tough, long and drawn out negotiations. They're going to happen, and starting today, and this should continue on probably through most of December. So as far as I'm concerned, I think the euro itself stands on good ground, basically driven by the thought that the ECB could move off their dovish stance. However, the pound, we've seen a really huge move in the pound of late. And I'm not sure how much more momentum is going to be behind the pound, given that we're running into probably some contentious political conversations around Brexit. So I'd really be surprised to see the pound test last week's high waters mark. And I think it's probably more susceptible to the downside this week.
This week, and certainly something to look out for between now and 2019. Okay, Stephen, let's move over to Australia. The central bank there is set to make a monetary policy decision on Tuesday afternoon. Any chance of a rate move tomorrow? And what's your take on the Aussie dollar, say, over the next 24 hours?
Well, you know, it really boils down to we strongly believe there's not going to be any rate move in any direction, but it really boils down to what the RBA's forward guidance suggests. Now, if they come off sounding aggressively dovish, I think the Australian dollar is going to tank. I think we'll be trading at 75 cents before we know it. And this is really what the market's starting to set themselves up. Right now, we've seen a real demise between the interest rate premium to Australian dollar, which weighs negatively. And right now, it really looks like the only support for the Australian dollars coming from commodity prices, given the fact that the interest rate differentials have evaporated. So throw in a dovish RBA to the equation, and I think the Australian dollar is going to be very, very susceptible to the downside. I'm actually viewing a dovish RBA setup, so I would be expecting the Australian dollar to struggle this week, even more so in the face of a stronger U.S. dollar narrative, given all the tax reform hoopla.
So when it comes to the Aussie dollar, you say the only support is from commodity prices, which is a great segue to this next question. So we got to look at oil. Now, OPEC has pledged to limit production through 2018. What does that mean for oil-related currencies like the ringgit?
I think it's quite positive. I think this should underpin oil prices going into 2018. Of course, we always have to look at the other side of the equation, which is the U.S. supply, and also there's a demand side of the equation. But I think the big elephant in the room is going to always remain shale oil production. What this means right now, there's two inventory data that come out in the U.S. each week. I think the market's going to start refocusing on the inventory data now that we've got the positive news from OPEC behind us. So obviously, if inventories start to increase again, then we'll see some fall in oil prices. But regardless of that, the current price right now, and I believe the underpin price, is going to be well above what the Malaysian government has forecasted in their 2018 budget. And I think this portends extremely well for currencies like the Malaysian ringgit.
So, Stephen, which has the stronger hold on the ringgit's movements, oil prices or U.S. yields?
Well, you know, it's a bit of a toss-up, but I've been more on the side where oil prices have been less sort of influential on currency markets of late because of all the positive news has pretty much been factored in. So really, I'm looking at more of an interest rate play here. And I think what's really, really supporting the ringgit right now is the suspected path to interest rate normalization by BNM, where it's widely expected that they're going to have a interest rate hike in January. And I think this will negate any sort of interest rate hike that'll come from the U.S. towards year end. Also, because of the strong economic data that's becoming out of Malaysia, especially surrounding the export sectors, I think this perhaps suggests that we could be in for one more interest rate hike in 2018. And I think this continues to underpin the ringgit. However, I'm guardedly optimistic on that view because I will have to become more data dependent and see how the data actually plays out over the longer term to buy into that second rate hike scenario.
Now, Stephen, also in your recent note, you see the Korean won as a proxy for regional currencies of late. Now, why is that, though? Why does the Korean won, what do they have? What's their edge over, say, other strong-performing Asian currencies, again, like the ringgit?
Well, I think it's just the size of their economy and just the volumes of exports that they have out. And I think what happens is that's the go-to currency that international investors would prefer to invest in, especially in the stock market. If you look at the Korean stock market, there's lots of undervalued pockets there because given the constituencies are pretty much heavily weighted towards Samsung. So there's a lot of other tech industry underlining the Kospi. So we start to see investors aggressively chased into that sector. But I'm not only guessing are surmising that this global growth narrative is all about tech sector. I also think this global growth scenario will actually play well into other currencies such as the Malaysian ringgit from an export sector, commodity export sector, and actually manufacturing export sector. So I'm not only looking at the high tech alone, I'm looking at the overall global growth narrative. And I think the ringgit will follow the lead of what the Korean won's doing, but I think it'll be a little bit delayed reaction.
Fascinating stuff as always. Hey, Stephen, always a pleasure. That was Stephen Innes, head of trading in Asia Pacific for Owanda in Singapore.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Summertime tips and fun facts from Paul, Kristen, and Dexter at Total Wine & More.
If you're topping off your burger with grilled onions and blue cheese, pair your work of art with a spicy Malbec.
Nothing beats a buttery Chardonnay with grilled corn on the cob. I'm ready to find you the perfect bottle of white for your next get-together.
Pack up the cooler for this weekend. We've got canned wine and beer ready to throw on ice.
Now with 9 locations in the Bay Area. Visit our newest store at Stevens Creek Central. Shop online at TotalWine.com. The selection is ridiculous. Cheers!